Okay. We'll go ahead and start. Again, we'll keep it informal. My name is Ryan Jackson. Thank you for coming. And really, when I was talking to Jan about this presentation, can you turn me down just a little? The topic was really, I sat in his office and I said, "Here's what we're doing at CSC." He said, "What are you guys up to?" And I gave him a tour of some of our environment. He said, "That's fantastic. You know, let's see it all." So when I wrote up the subscription for him, or the description, you know, I said, "How about we talk about CSC's transformation? Because it's in the news, it's really big right now. We had a new CEO come in just under 2 years ago, and a lot of the activities that we're doing for the transformation, we're using the capabilities that we've developed in our environment to run the transformation." And so some of the details that I'm going to show you are going to be very specific to project management and how we're managing projects and programs. But really, the perspective I want you to get is just the art of the possible of some of the things that we're doing. And I know a lot of people are using this product for a capability to run their environments and to run their enterprises. And that's really where I want to kind of move to a different path for you, is we're not using Project Server to just manage projects. We're using Project Server in the environment we've built called CSC PMO as an enterprise solution. And so I've subtitled the deck kind of the journey from product to solution for us, enterprise solution, because it's more than just project management for us. It really is the whole picture, so that you can see it from the top and the bottom. And I'll talk about why we've kind of gone left when Microsoft's gone right a bit. And that's a good thing because of the flexibility of the platform, but because of our enterprise approach and our viewpoints of things. And so, quick topics. Since it's a small group, we're just going to really go informally through this, and just we'll do questions, and if you've got questions, happy to answer them. But essentially, I'll talk about our strategy and vision of why we're doing what we're doing, our current productivity tool maturity level. So those of you, if you're watching this online, or you've seen this before, seen some of my presentations in the past, you'll be able to compare where we've been to where we are today. And so we'll talk about where we are maturity-wise. And then we'll go through a bunch of screenshots, and we'll do some live demos if you guys want to do that, of really day in the life of, you know, we'll look at dashboards and screenshots and real live data if you want, of what our management uses, our end users use on a daily basis, what our executives use. I've got a couple screenshots of what we actually used in our decision committee meetings with our CEO going through the transformation using real data, what we do with our clients, and then any technical details you want to get into, we can do that as well. So again, we call CSC PMO our enterprise solution, and really it just gives us visibility, transparency into what this capability provides for us from a really business strategy, maximizing our utilization and operational efficiencies. So here's our strategy. We sought out to improve employee effectiveness. You know, one-stop shopping. So we went through this massive effort, and we're continuing to do that through our transformation, and is consolidating a lot of tools. And so CSC PMO is really a collection of tools that we've consolidated over the years into one view. And that way, employees don't have to, you know, deal with multiple tools to get the job done. It was key that we did something industry pace, something best in class, so that we had effective knowledge management. We could, you know, reuse lessons learned and really, you know, hone our skills and hone our templates and hone our best practices across the board, being industry pace as well. And integrated workflow is also important. The processes that it takes to do good project management, you know, isn't necessarily in all of your PM workforce or ours either. In other words, you've got, you know, standardized PM processes that you probably have. For us, we certainly have best practices and certifications, but we don't have an audience of 6,000 A-plus superhuman project managers. We've got a plethora just like everybody. And so what we put in workflow, we automated a lot of the processes with workflow so that we could bring the entire audience of our PMs up. And so everywhere we had a chance to put workflow in place, we're doing that, and we're continuing to do that. So workflow is a huge, huge improvement in our environment over the past 2 years that we haven't had in the past. obviously the BI, you guys can take a look at the slide, but it's critical that having all this data in one place. So this is important to note that we've got one project server environment, one environment that is really set up for the entire company so that we can have all the data in a place that we can do powerful analytics, so that we can be predictive and proactive, measuring what matters most. Reporting is, you got to run the company off of reporting, and it was critical for us to be able to run the type of meetings that our CEO wanted to run, moving from PowerPoint to real data. And that's the first time in my career at CSC where we left PowerPoint and we looked at real dashboards to run meetings. And that was pretty exciting. Most companies still don't do that. They run off of PowerPoint. And so obviously it's critical that we have all this good data in a place that we can do that from. And then, you can read the rest. So this was our strategy and vision. This is what we've been working towards and working on. When you look at all of the pieces that surround this environment, and I've got another slide that does this again in a minute, but really we're looking at our PLM, or our offering lifecycle management processes, our sales activity, when we execute, so when we win a deal, and we go execute that, so large program transition management. We're an outsourcing company, so we do a lot of transitions. Service delivery, that's the run and maintain piece. Big data and analytics, got a lot of information coming through from disparate places that we need to report on. And then obviously running our corporate initiatives. So productivity tools, really, I've surrounded this with all the key things that we're focused on to make this work. And so that's the life cycle of data, if you will. We build a widget that we're going to sell to solve a business problem, an offering, and then we sell it. And so that information, as we sell, win a deal, we then transition into an execution mode of that information. So the information flows through the tool quite nicely so that you don't have a lot of repeat data entry. And then run and maintain, the account team that lives on a typical outsourcing deal will use the information that's passed through the system from the other stages. So obviously some of the key attributes for us to focus on was really, and I like this one, reduction of 30% in overhead. We did a couple black belt projects to prove that we've efficiently met a huge reduction in the way we were doing it before. And so we eliminated numbers of people out of our activities because we automated them. We automated our processes, we automated our reports, and that was really key for us. Obviously the consistency, this was something that we run all of our projects through, all of our big programs through, and so we've got consistent reporting, so there's not an ad hoc, type dashboard or ad hoc type report or PowerPoint that you have to, when you're looking at it from a management perspective, what am I looking at? You don't have to ask those questions. It's consistent so that you're going to expect it from one program to the next if you're looking at it from an enterprise perspective. Drill down capability, that to me, that's critical to our system. So I'm going to use this word dashboard-centric. And we've really built an environment around a dashboard-centric approach that gives you the ability to go to the dashboard and do everything you possibly need to do, never having to leave the dashboard. And so that's a key approach we've taken. But in order for that to be successful, you got to be able to drill down into the data. So going from summary to detailed. And obviously, you get improved accuracy because you're using source system data. One of the things that we're working on for this future state is driving down our revenue leakage. So as we can get consistent processes and automated capabilities, now we're closing the gap. Now we can start focusing on where are other gaps that we can start viewing revenue leakage from. And that's what this data is giving us the ability to do. So I'm going to fly through these slides and get to the interesting stuff in a second. But if you've seen some of the presentations I've done in the past, this is where we were, this first chart in blue. Project management focus, just trying to get our project managers to improve their capabilities and skills. And then currently, this is all the other things that we've adopted. So we've increased to our change management organization, corporate change management organization, all of our corporate initiatives, our OLM processes, our sales catalog, sales engine, obviously program project management, our operations, all of our BI, a lot of activity going through the system today. And then where we want to be is just continue to improve. Continue to improve and close the gaps. And so when we look into the environment, I have a principle that I pass to my teams that if you can't get to the information that you need within 2 to 3 clicks, you've failed. And so that was real critical in the way we put the UI together so that it didn't take someone, you know, a massive amount of time and confusion to find what they needed, and especially when you're looking at an organization of 100,000 people. We're managing, you know, 6,000 plus projects a year across, you know, 600 plus clients. We've got a lot of activity going on. And so from an enterprise approach, the UI is very specifically, you know, built to make it easy to find what you need. So if I'm working on client X, it's either going to be an account transition or a sale, new business opportunity. From there, I can drill down into the client. And then that takes me to the next bullet point. The single workspace container for a client or account or program versus a workspace per project. So as I mentioned before, we went left, Microsoft went right here. Simply in the terms of Microsoft Project Server, and when you create a new project, what does it do? It creates a new workspace for you for that project. And so for us, what I just mentioned, 6,000 projects a year, you think about it, we've been running for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, 9 years. Can't really delete stuff, can't really archive a whole lot because we're still referencing accounts that are running. And so a massive amount, if we use the out-of-the-box feature of creating a workspace per project, it would be unwieldy. And so the administrative activity required to do that just didn't seem like it made sense to us. So we've moved to a workspace container, if you will, for each large program, each client. It doesn't mean that we don't have sub-workspaces. You know, we obviously can do that, but from a navigational perspective, everything you need from one of our clients will be under one click, and you'll be able to find all the things pertaining to that client or program or whatever it might be. And so, that's critically important for, especially when you have, you know, 2,000 resources working to support a client. And so there's no confusion about where they go to find their stuff. And so that was one of the key differences that we really honed in on to make this work for us. And just an example of drilling down to the navigation of the 600 plus clients, and I'll show you real time how you can navigate that easily. For us to be successful, we had to have a lot of mature processes for deployment. And so in order to achieve, you know, transparency and consistency in the way we were communicating, you know, our product, if you will, to the business, we put a lot of rigor around how we deployed to our accounts. And so obviously we put, you know, a lot of metrics, and we made that transparent for the organization. Not just here, but in just about everything we do, we want folks to see, you know, what it is that we're doing so that they understand, you know, how to work with us. Obviously the size we are, you've got to have a good communication program, good communication plan, and we have a portal, and all communications that get sent out from the organization to the company, you know, all can be found here, and this is where folks can launch a number of different directions. And then training, obviously, another key success criteria. You got a question, Roy? No. So another key area. So we've got an extensive training program for our folks. We've narrowed it down because we've tried to build the UI and the user friendliness, if you will, of the system, you know, so that didn't require a whole lot of training. As we roll out new features, but we've done a number of modules for the system, you know, by role, by person, as you'd expect. But as we move into the new kind of approach to application development, just like Microsoft's doing, I think we're trying to make it as intuitive as possible, and you'll see some of that. And then our support page. Obviously, when you've got, you know, the audience that we are dealing with, you got to have support. You got to be able to deal with ticketing. And again, we're transparent. We provide visibility into how we're doing and how quickly we're answering the mail for troubleshooting issues. Okay. So this is really an example of one of our key dashboards that the executives and senior leaders can use. to see, and this is one example of our transition portfolio, but they can come to this dashboard and see, this is outside of Project Server, so we've attached all the data, and this is the SharePoint dashboard, if you will, that we pull data in from SAP, we pulled data in from Project Server, we pulled data in from other sources to give them this view of all of the programs, all of the big programs running in the company. And so you can see the data coming from the project plans. Now behind this, this is again a program level view. And so if you think master plan type data, this is the roll-up of information across one of those line items, you know, 20, 40, you know, 10, let's see, you've got a $20 million program, a $14 million program. These are programs that have probably 300 to 500 projects underneath them. And so this is the summary level view of that information. And so pulling it all together, pulling the SAP data in one place is critical for them to be able to make decisions off of the information. I have a question on, and then they can click on it and drill down. Another tab on that dashboard is, you know, the budget varied projects by, you know, whatever threshold. These are the top projects that are missing or making the budgets across the entire company. Top five risks and issues that roll up across all of the projects up to the top of the company across these programs. Again, a view, being able to have all this data in one place gives us the ability to do this kind of thing. And so if you have a consistent way you're managing issues and risks, you're able to do it, you know, do these type of dashboards. So drilling down, as I mentioned earlier in one of the slides, it's really critical that you be able to get to the information. Datamart. We have extended the reporting database quite a bit, but it can't handle all this stuff. So we've moved to a Datamart model to capture it. And so the continuing on the drill down, being able to drill down into a program, then you see a list of the projects. So this is the portfolio of programs and the portfolio of projects, if you will. That then it's just one click and you can drill down and see what the next level is. And so if somebody has a question about a particular program, I want to see what's going on. Why is this red? Why is this, you know, running over budget? He drills down and can capture that. And then, oops, let me go down a little bit further and let me click on that project and see here's the project that caused the concern at the program level. And then I can drill down to the project level. And again, we'll get into more detail there. But a critical that you can kind of follow the information down into being able to answer the questions that you don't even have to ask, right? Because without the ability to do this, the questions come through email or the questions come to, I'll get back to you. You know, I don't know, I'll get back to you. I got to go talk to somebody. And so if the somebody is the guy at the lowest level entering the data as a resource or a task owner or a risk owner or an issue owner, you'll be able to get the information without even having to ask the question. So a really, really powerful capability. So this is our project status kind of report at the bottom here. We'll go into more detail a bit. I want to go into the actual elements of it with you so you can see how we're doing it. And this is the bottom half of that. So being able to see the budget information, the kind of the RAG status, the budget information there at the bottom. And then the project plan detail. So we bring in the project plan detail so you don't have to crack open Microsoft Project to see what's going on. You don't have to go to the project server views. We pull it all in so that you can get it all in one place. Accomplishments, risks, issues, actions. And then this dashboard here that shows budget, there's a drop down. I give you a couple different options looking at earned value data, looking at even some of your milestones. So again, the milestone section in the status report is fed directly from the project plan. And so this is just a timeline view that we put together for the milestones. The programmatics tab. So when you look at the tabs across the top, the programmatics tab is really all the late to start, late to finish reporting that you would expect to do on a project. And so that programmatics tab is gives you the view of how, of the tasks that I was supposed to finish or the tasks I was supposed to start, how many did I finish and start. And so all that is a view that, that gives us a, you know, a, the ability to understand why our end value might be off or why I'm running late. You can kind of drill down and say, well, you know, the project manager has a tool, and management can use it to motivate the project manager, but the project manager really has the tools in his hand to figure out why something might be off. And then we have other reports that actually show the task detail and the task items with IDs, et cetera. But the other key, and I've got a tab there pointing from financials. You know, this product, the other key tab here is the financials. When I put the financials from SAP in this system, it was like the company woke up. I mean, we were popular before, but when the financial data mirrored up with the other information, it was just absolutely a different system. You know, we could actually make decisions. We could drive, I think, a lot of our meetings right from the system, and just cut out an army of people that had to help manage finances for these projects and programs and accounts before. And so really, really, you know, a capability that if you haven't done that in your own systems, you definitely need to do. So, by person. So we captured the hours coming in to the SAP system by person, so that we could tell if a guy was supposed to work. You know, you can kind of see this detail here. I've got financials, cost, and price information, and then I've got hours information. So I bring it all in. And so the reason that's important is for if I've got resources that are working against the schedule, I've got X number of hours that we've planned for him to work, and then I'm able to see what he's actually logged in SAP, and I'm able to keep it accurate. And so, go ahead.
So plan for him to work, so you're actually getting down to like some deliverable or task level?
Task level. Well, there's not task level detail in SAP, but I bring in the WBS, if you will, that person is charged to. And so I bring his hours in every week. And so, they have to allocate it themselves based on what they've accomplished in their tasks. And so that gives me the ability to match it up to say, is it right or not? So we don't interpolate the data from SAP into the project plan and just say, you know, I'm gonna, you know, mash that across the tasks. He's gotta be able to give me a remaining work on each task. How much remaining work do I have left? And that gives us our estimate at complete, a more accurate picture of our estimate at complete. And so this helps me capture if folks are having issues with charging, they're charging the wrong numbers, or they thought they were charging a number, and they, you know, so this gives us the visibility to kind of keep that straight along the way, as opposed to trying to reconcile it, you know, at the end of the month or the quarter or whatever it might be. And so really big impact on the financials, and when I do the live session, we'll go into some of that. I'm on record, so we don't have any quality issues. I'm just kidding. Obviously, we wouldn't need this report if it was perfect. This is why we have the report, to keep it straight. That was the challenge, right? It was taking us a huge amount of effort to understand, why doesn't our financials match the project plan? You know, why does this look like I'm spending so much more or less? And so that's why we needed this right in your face, if you will, so that you could manage it together. Here I've got the project data and I got the financial data so that I can stay on top of it. Without that, especially by person, how do you get in front of it? And so critical capability to be able to, you know, look at the hours per person and even the cost. You know, I can look at and tell you, you know, when you last, you know, charged an expense report to the project. You know, and we can drill down into that detail, and that you bought coffee, or you know, we can go into that detail. So the project manager has at his fingertips to be able to manage the resources on his team. He has the detail to challenge. You know, and without that, it's, you know, it's really difficult for him to stay on target. So this is that view, the programmatics view again, that gives them that late to start view, but the dashboard, and I'll show you a real one in a minute, but it gives this view of how late we are. And then of the tasks that are running late, where do they fall? You know, how late are they? Are they 7 days? Are they 8 to 14? Are they 21? Are they, you know, how bad is it? So a living, breathing project plan, you know, should have some tasks that are running late up front. But when you get out to 90, you know, 120 plus days, you got a problem. You got a baseline issue, right? Something wasn't planned right, or you didn't do change control correctly, et cetera. And so this gives you that visibility of how healthy is your schedule. That's all this is really doing. Okay, so that's in the wrong place. That's okay, though. Let me go ahead and hit it now. So the transformation program that we ran, and we're still running, was really a powerful experience for me, being able to meet the CEO, and when I showed him what we could do, when he said, "Hey, we're going to put rigor in this transformation, and we're going to do it with real data," and I'm sitting in his office and showing him, I said, and I made the statement, you know, I can export this stuff to PowerPoint, or we can, you know, figure out ways to. He said, "Absolutely not. We're going to use the tool. We're going to use the tool, and we're going to run the meetings from the tool." You know, I think I floated out of the building, right? It was a very, very powerful experience to be able to have a CEO at the top of the company to support and champion, you know, this type of discipline that I've been pushing, you know, the company for a while. And so being able to run that, and this is just kind of this, you know, homepage of our change management office, and the dashboards that I just showed you are all built in here, the status with all the projects and milestones, and I'll show you some of that in a minute. But then we created a kind of an executive level view. And so an executive summary of, you know, the roll-up of information that needs to be communicated to the CEO. And so the rigor that's in these transformation programs is just what you'd expect with our clients. A lot of detailed project, you know, plan information. And so being able to run these executive level meetings, we had to come up a level. And so we used the tool to do that. And so we built this information that fed directly from, again, the lower levels of data to communicate it. And so we had the summaries of milestones. We had obviously a timeline chart. How are we doing based on the where we are today, accomplishments. And then I've blacked out a few pieces of sensitive information, but the point being is we have key follow-up action items in this dashboard, key decisions that are made that we log that then get distributed to the company, open issues, open active risks, same kind of thing that, again, from our normal status report, these are elevated up a level to executive level. And so there's a slide in here that shows those dashboards again, and I was going to show you let me see if I can find it, why I put that in here. Yeah, here it is. This is the result. Right, so when we started all of that rigor back in July of 2012, we've done nothing but go up. And I can't think of a better way to say it's working. Right, this is the result. And we've gone from $22 to $60 on Friday. I don't know where it is right now. But very very indicative of how the transformation is working. And I'm excited to say that you know, this capability is helping drive that rigor. So let me get back to where we were. So again, we'll do a live view of this dashboard going in, but again, this is the next layer down from the executive level more to the senior management level and program manager level. Drilling down into the dashboard details. Again, we'll do this live. This is a view. We had a request to help facilitate delivery assurance across our projects. How are we doing? Are we executing them well? And so what we had was a manual Excel-based report that was published or generated a across the company so that you had folks doing project reviews, either themselves or peer reviews or you know, formal audits from our delivery assurance group or quality assurance groups. And so the challenge was, how do we identify systemic issues in the company? So we can be tactical, and we can go review a project, and we can tell them what to do to fix it, and then we move on to the next one, right? And so the knowledge was lost on somebody's hard drive, or the lost in somebody's head, or a PowerPoint. And so we built this review capability, and it's now institutionalized across the system. So any project has this attached to it, if you will. And so when a review happens, and we've got these extensive reviews, these initiation reviews, these executive, or not executive, but execution reviews, close down reviews, and then I'll show you the newer screen in a minute, we've got some of our application compliant reviews as well. And so this capability allowed us to capture consistent reviews and data that we then could drill down and look at across the portfolio. So where are we having systemic issues in project definitions? Are we having systemic issues around solution architecture in a particular region or a particular industry? So having the information gave us the ability to really focus on improvement initiatives that, you know, really drove, you know, key improvements across the program management space, program project management. This dashboard also serves as a great BI tool, so you can do a lot of filtering and being able to, because not every project, you can't review, you know, 6,000+ projects. It's not possible. So we built a very friendly dashboard that would allow you to prioritize what's important. You know, maybe we don't review them all, but maybe you review a threshold, above a threshold of cost or price or significance of priority to the customer, et cetera. And then being able to make this stick, it had to be simple. And so the reviews, you've got context-sensitive help, if you will, in the review. And it only takes a minute to do the review, going through and having the artifacts. And the cool thing about having all this in one system is that we can go look for, you know, the project definition document with one link. One link over, and you can see the project definition document. Does it exist or not? Is it appropriate? And so having all the information available to do the review, again, sped things up, because you didn't have somebody flying into the account site where the project manager lived and worked every day, asking him and bugging him for, let me have this, let me have that, let me have this artifact or this piece of collateral. It's all in the system. So the reviewer could have all of his facts gathered and do the review and then have the interview with the project manager about specific issues, as opposed to bugging him for collecting information. So again, a key time saver and productivity, you know, efficiency, if you will, by having all this in one place. And very easy to complete these reviews. And we save real estate. If you got comments, well, I'll show you some of that later, but you can drill down into the details. So we use Salesforce.com as our CRM tool, and we drive our opportunities and our client details through that tool. But then we build our proposal response and our bids through this tool. And so that's really what the sales hub, we call it the sales engine or sales hub workbench, and that's really driving, you know, the response to an opportunity. And there's a lot of, you know, these big deals that we chase, there's a lot of heads that collaborate on these proposals. And so we needed to kind of ease the pain in some of that effort. And so we built an entire system around, you know, managing these proposals and these bid efforts, you know, fairly painlessly. And so we capture all that information. And again, another critical point is that this information is key as we win a deal. You need to be able to refer back to it to say, what is it that we said we needed to do, not just contractually, but even some of the assumptions we had to make. And so you have all that information at your fingertips within a click or two, as opposed to having to go find it somewhere else in the company. And so critical piece that you know, having all this in one place. And so some examples of things we've done in order, you know, again, the life cycle and churn on you know, new business is quick. And so automating site creations for that, being able to spin them up with, you know, you know, two clicks of an approval and the site's ready to go so that you can turn a proposal around in 24 hours or 48 or whatever it might be. I added this slide just because this was a hard nut for us to crack. This intelligent, and you wouldn't think it's hard, but when we tried to do it, it took us a while. Intelligent filtering. You know, there's a few tools out there that people have created, but we couldn't get any of them to work. We had to end up building this ourselves, but being able to drill down, I choose this, now I want to go this direction, or I choose this, I get another tree of selection. And that you know, once we crack that nut, it's been very, very useful for us to kind of get better data quality through our system, because people don't have to look through a list of information that just doesn't pertain to them. And that was critical in our sales hub. And then obviously having all that data, we can stay on track. So we've got a project management kind of perspective. We're not managing these bid pursuits necessarily through project plans. Some do, the bigger ones do. But whether you're doing it through a plan or not, we have the ability to give that visibility, if you will, of how we're tracking. Just another sample dashboard of project information or opportunities that we're chasing on a run and maintain account. And this one, so when we started pumping out these dashboards, the queue just kept growing. So what else can we manage through this automated way? And so this is an example of a run and maintain account that said, hey, we need process compliance. We need to track our processes. And so can we put some project management discipline around it to track our processes and put some dashboarding around it? So that's what we continue to do. So again, beyond project management in the system, it really is a lot of things to the accounts. And I've just taken a few things to show you today. So we do all this work internally for our clients, and we support them, and they ask us to do a piece of work. They request a piece of work from us, and we do that work for them, and then we collaborate with them, and we report to them along the way. And one of the things that was missing was giving them dynamic, real-time information. And so this was a big win for us around interfacing with our clients directly. And so being able to share risk, issues, actions, you know, documents to collaborate on, LTMs, PTMs, or whatever it is that we're having to be working on with them, you know, change requests, being able to share that with them was key. But what we did not want to do was give them access to information that we needed to manage our own business with. And so remember, we've got this kind of centric, you know, workspace, this one workspace container, if you will, that we manage everything about the client, good, bad, ugly, you know, working out our own problems to make sure that we're meeting their requirements. And we didn't want to give them access to all of that. It was probably too much, and just, it was one of those things that we also were conscious that if we gave them access, we knew we could control that with security, what they could or couldn't see in the workspace. But we thought, you know, what if somebody accidentally provides information to them, and then we've got a lot of explaining to do, or and so what we did was we built a capability that gave the client their own portal, but then synchronized the information across the workspaces. In other words, when you fill out a risk in the system, if it's for the client, you check the flag, and then that automatically shows up in the, it will ask you, are you sure? And then it automatically shows up in the client's workspace in their risk log. Same thing with issues, actions, documents, et cetera. So anything we want to share with the customer, we just flip a metadata tag, and that automatically gets replicated, or doesn't replicate, but it just points over and gets shown to them through their workspace portal. Anything the client touches in their site automatically shows up in the CSC side. So the CSC guys don't have to go look at two different places. So anything the client touches, I don't like this, or I'm going to, you know, I don't approve this, or I'm going to look at this risk and I'm going to add my own spin to some areas, it automatically shows up in our system with obviously all the bells and whistles of alerts that SharePoint has to offer the guys can be alerted quickly that the client has interfaced with their information. And so, huge win here for us, so that we could really give the client the ability to collaborate with us and work with us on things and share with us and really work together to solve some of their challenges, but at the same time, you know, giving CSC a bit of protection that we could manage everything in one place and not have to kind of change the way we do business. So really, really cool capability that we built that, again, has expanded into a number of areas for the client. So we do a number of our initiation requests. I mentioned workflows earlier. A lot of effort around workflows, an extensive amount of work around workflows. And so the customer being able to say, I need X from you. And so we give them the ability to request that information through the system, and then we manage it out the door. This is an example of, so one of our customers didn't like our standard reports, and they asked for, hey, we really want to see it this way, and so this was an example of a report that we built for them specifically. Obviously, that detracts from consistent ways of doing it, but the customer's the customer, and they often always get their way. So so when we need to do those custom-type reporting capabilities, we do them. This is an example of one of those. All right, so we'll take another 5 minutes on how we made this work behind the scenes, and then we'll jump into kind of some real dashboards, and I'll click through them and show you how it all comes together. Master data management was critical to making this work. And so what I mean by that is we had to decouple all the information around the project from the project ID. So in the out-of-the-box capability, when it creates a workspace based on a project, it would use that project GUID. And Dan's back here. He helped us fight this battle quite a bit, FK&A. But we finally had to just take a step back, because what was happening is when that GUID would change, occasionally, you know, how many of you work in systems that the guy takes the plan offline and makes a bunch of changes, forgets to upload it and saves it as a new project and pushes it back up and says, hey, I put, 100 hours of work into this project plan. You got to do it. But the system says it sees it as a new project. And so it broke all of the connections that we had to all the data sets. And so we had to take a step back and say, how do we do this without killing ourselves? Because the support team behind the scenes had to reconnect all those IDs up to make it work. And so we created this master data management portal, this concept that the ID to the project was completely separate. And so the ID to all that information around risk issues, all the collateral around the projects, really was separate. So you enter a project entry outside of the project plan, and then you can attach the project plan to it as many times as you want, as many projects as you want. So if a project gets messed up or gets corrupted, heaven forbid, you can replace it simply with two clicks, and it will pull all that information in just like it was there before. And so it assigns it another ID and gives the ability to really loosely couple this information, keeping the administrative side on the back end when something goes wrong. And that was, the small team of folks that were supporting the entire company just couldn't, they were getting buried with errors and issues that the system would generate that through no control of ours. And so this master data management has extended, to the financial data components. All the information from various systems, now get managed through this MDM portal, if you will. So it enables us to very easily keep things straight at the front end, and then everything on the back end works nicely. So feature deployment, obviously, in order to do a lot of releases and quick releases, the easiest way that we found to do that was through features. And so this was an example of being able to deploy features. And and then all that data moving across the various systems, one of the challenges we had was, did the data come over? And so this is something that FK&A built for us, being able to help facilitate, the management, the technical administration of the back end of all the various systems coming through and was the system, you know, performing like it was supposed to? And so this was something that we put in place to help facilitate that. All right, let's go live. Is there any specific area that you guys want to see that we covered? I can drill down into it, or I can just kind of jump into some dashboards. Any particular areas? Just jump in. All right. All right, so the dashboard-centric, this is one of our internal programs that we're managing. So, you know, 400 or 500 people working on this particular program all come into this one space. And when they drill into their dashboards, here's a view that they are able to really go to. I think I've got this expanded to see all of the projects in this particular program that are running. And what this does for them is gives them the ability, as I mentioned before, to see the information from Project Server, so they can look at the schedule management. We do a lot of this kind of expansion capability to really save real estate. So you can see kind of all the key information from a summary level that you need if you're just glancing, quickly. But if you want to drill in and see more information, you can expand the real estate. And so being able to look at, you know, the status date of the project. So if earned value is important to you, the status date must be important as well. And so being able to look at the status date of what the project plan is set, start and finish dates, baseline finish dates, all critical, actual percent complete, expanding the SPI values. If you want to see the other details behind it, the BCWS, BCWP, et cetera, it would give you the visibility there. One of the key fields that was very important to us was this last modified date. You know, how current was the information we're looking at? And so we added this field from the system to enable us to look at, is the information being kept up to date based on the financial information I'm looking at? And so you can look at, this is a fairly current program that's all been touched in the last week. And when a date doesn't match the financials, or it doesn't, you know, the financial date when the data comes in or when it was last touched, we flag it red. That way we know that, you know, you may not be able to trust the information you're seeing. The guy hasn't updated his plan. So that was a key piece of information that enabled the project managers. Actually, it kept the project managers a bit more honest with us because they couldn't, you know, get ahead or behind without us knowing about it. The financial data, risk issues, we talked about that. And so what we show is the past due, but you want to expand it to see how many total. So this program has a total of 230 risks that they've managed or are managing. They've got 54 open, 146 that are closed already. 11 are past due. Issues and actions work the same way. That view I had open just a second ago gave this subgrouping. So a lot of times you have projects that are similar. They're maybe in a particular tower or framework or business unit or whatever it might be. You need to group them. A lot of times you expect reports at the summary level. And so we built this system, this capability to provide kind of a subgrouping level of summary reports, but also gave you the ability to kind of navigate around and see it. So same exact data. Looking at the programmatics tab is the same thing. So I showed you before, of the planned finishes, you know, 13 of the entire program, right? You got this project, this program is running about 79% to schedule. And so this isn't earned value data. This is actually task performance. And so this gives us a view that you know, any particular project, you know, if you go down and look at Telcom, for example, Telcom and AVE conferencing is running 86% of schedule. That means that they had 44 planned tasks to finish for that current week ending January 24th, and they finished 38. And so the indicators, you know, up, down, tell us they're getting better from the previous week. And so again, just a view to help us gauge how healthy the projects or program is running. And then again, you can see if the bar is high on the far right, that means there's probably some planning issues, right? And so this gives us a view of all of those tasks that are running late, where do they sit? And you can see the aging report, if you will. And then you can look at the detail that makes up that report. Let me see how many tasks were laid off of from a particular project. You are. I've been here for 14. So having of, you know, just shy of 100 people doing this across the company manually, we figured out all the manual reports that we needed to automate, and this was one of them. And we, you know, so the governance board that we have in place that we run things through, this was before the governance board existed. Now, if we were going to introduce a large capability like this, the governance board from various members of the company would sit on and say that meets our needs or not, right? This particular one was just, you know, a must-have for us. We had to have it. So very powerful, because it really gave us insight, and I think I've got a view. I'll open it up. So this schedule, late to finish, late to start. I mean, you guys have all probably seen in Microsoft Project, you run filters on your tasks and you can run those reports or build reports yourselves. It's been a decade since I've done it, but the massive amount of data you have to put into an Excel file and then massage it and then produce, you know, some summary information about it. That's all this is, really. And so those quick launch, you know, late to task, late to finish, that actually, you know, runs a dashboard that shows the task detail from the project schedule. So you can look at the task, and you know, it's much like the project server views in the web app, but a bit faster. And that's really what drove us this direction to do all this reporting. Besides being able to pull all this other information into a view for decision making, when we were dealing with this, we started in 2003 and 2007, and we just had performance issues trying to, you know, fit the views out of the box and getting the project server views to work, you know, to our satisfaction. So we just started doing things a little faster. Now, it's gotten better. I mean, you saw the keynote this morning, 90% improvement in 2013, right, or where they're going with some of their online stuff. So it's gotten better, but when we created this, we made the investment to, you know, be able to do this outside of Project Server simply because we needed performance. We need better performance. Okay, the milestone view is also a pretty powerful view. This is pulling milestones in from the project plan. Again, so from an executive, remember, we're looking at this from an executive level, a portfolio view, not a project manager view. He's got his own dashboards for those things. This is looking across the entire program. And so this gives us the ability to pull out the most important project milestones. Not all milestones, but the ones that we key, you know, through a field that are critical that we want to report up. Maybe they're contractual. And I think I've got a field here that shows that. And so, you know, and this is an internal project, so there aren't any contractual milestones, but if it's contractual, we'll be able to see if there's any penalties or payments attached to it, client-facing, et cetera. This past due future, this was actually FKNA's brainchild, but, you know, we fell in love with it, and it's been fantastic for us to give us a visual representation of, you know, of when we're looking at dates. It just doesn't quite, you know, you can't quite pick them out if you're looking at a table. And so really, really useful to be able to have this little Gantt chart that gives us an idea of, you know, what do I need to pay attention to? Not just, you know, my, you know, status of am I going to miss it or not, but, you know, how long do I have to work it? So drilling into a project. This is one on our this is a directory project that we're working right now. And it is, so we've made some additional commentary room here in the RAG chart. This view of financials. So this gives us a budget versus actual view. Again, you know, hard to just follow numbers on a chart sometimes. It's easier with a graphic. And so being able to drop this down and change to it switched me to the network. Hold on, let me switch back to one I can trust. So give me a second to refresh this. While that's doing so, it'll come back and refresh, but it will give us the graph of earned value as well. We'll come back. I've jumped a screen over into the reviews for the particular project, so you can kind of see what I was showing you before. Being able to go through and do a review very quickly as a project manager, as a kind of a self-review, or as a reviewer, peer, or delivery assurance, being able to drive that review. And so being able to flip the chart, you know, back and forth to whatever you need to look at. Budget information, we talked about that. So this is driving information from the project, driving information from a secondary budget process that the project managers have to go through, and then pulling in information from SAP. The schedule summary, again, pulling that information directly from the project plan. Accomplishments. One key thing, I mentioned this dashboard-centric view. The project manager, once he's filled out his project plan details, this is where he lives. He can do everything he needs to do right here from this dashboard. And so a key improvement over the years was being able to have the ability to create, modify, enter new issues or risks right from the dashboard. So he's in the dashboard, he's working on it, he can enter his information right from the dashboard. And so another key feature for us was being able to look at a risk, and here's all the information that we've got about the risk, but then, you know, what are we doing about it? And so we've nested the actions that were related to a particular risk or an issue there along with it, so you can drop down and see what's going on with it. And so we've got these actions that we've nested, and this is we have the ability to create an action separately from a risk or an issue, or tie them all together and have the relationships. Again, just one of those key things to save time and being able to get the information drilled down, if you will, along the way. And that key milestone view you saw a picture of there earlier. And then within the context of the project, here is the detail for the finances for that particular project. Now, this is an internal project, so it's not going to have a whole lot of information here, but you can kind of get a view based on here's the budget information. If there's been any change requests gone through and approved, and there's workflows behind all of that, it would show up here. So change of plan or baseline change request. You can see the how we put the weekly budgets and ETCs in. The hours report, this is that report I showed you before. And this is critical if for us being able to manage the relationship with our customer and our contract. We've got contract rates with our customer, being able to pull all that in, understand what our price is. And so being able to price information, not just cost, but understanding what our direct cost margin is going to be based on our ability to execute against a project. So For us, it was critical to be able to have the flexibility to add a contract rate against resource types. And so that's what's behind this. What you're seeing here is the ability to tie all that information together. Cost reports, you know, would be, you know, all the expenses that come in. Programmatics, same type of view as I showed you before, but this is contextually just to this project. So this is how this project is performing. You can kind of see he's running about 80%, 81% on schedule. That's what other, and then the review. That was the what I was showing you before. The ability to go in and review any particular project at any given time. At the program level, that review tab is there, and it shows you the entire portfolio of projects and how they've been reviewed. And then the reports that you know show you are deficient in a particular area across the entire program, or are we deficient across the region, et cetera, et cetera. Did I lose my network? I've lost my network. There it goes. So this view, being able to, you know, you might have a review, you might have 15 reviews in a particular phase of the project. And just by hovering over it, you'd see all those reviews, the history of those reviews would be available to you. The color obviously showing you the latest. That was a critical thing for us. And we had multiple systems feeding information into this system at one point in time. So on the right, you can see the source. It was, you know, if the information was coming from another system, as we were working to consolidate, we were able to show that information. And I think FK, didn't Dan, you helped us with this? I'm not sure if you helped us with this one or not.
I'm not sure about this. A lot of the other ones.
Yeah, some of the other ones, absolutely. So that's really a view of some of the key capabilities that we're doing. I can show you some you know, key risk and issues and opportunity management dashboards that we've created. Those are pretty exciting. One of the things that has been big on my agenda is to drive the system to work like TurboTax. Anybody from the U.S., you know, when you're working through and you're trying to figure out how to, you know, do your taxes, you know, TurboTax just wizard, you know, just drives you to the information and the choices that you need to make. And that's where I'm taking the system. So when you enter risks, there's a very mature way of managing risks at CSC now. And that follows this wizard type pattern of, you know, did you do this and what's the impact? And if, you know, and it really drives it, you know, this wizard based capability. And so the fundamentals of project management, that's what we're driving them through, so that whether you're an expert or not, we're going to get the same results in the collateral. And it's going to improve our overall, has improved and will continue to improve our ability to manage projects. All right, we've got, I'm supposed to leave 10 minutes for Q&A or 15 minutes for Q&A. Anything else that you guys have question-wise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is, it's a great question. So the app dev model that we've had to mature to, if you will, going from 2007 to 2010 took us 6 months to rewrite all the stuff. So then we said, we're not doing that again, right? So now when we build things, we loosely couple them so that we modularize them, we build them so that we can kind of feed them into the next version of the system. Doesn't mean we don't have work to do, especially since they just changed the schematic on the 2013. But it did take us some effort, and so that's one of the you know, the maturity models that we've gone through trying to keep up with Microsoft is we've got to build these solutions that you've seen, and a lot of them already are built to just plug right in, so that they're not hard coded and there's not, you know, 1,000 stored procedures that are all linked together. So Lego based type development. Anything else?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. So the question was, are they using the project server piece? Yeah, they have to get the data in. Yeah, and I mean, I didn't want to go through a tour of those basics. I mean, it is the same for everybody, right? Project working that side of a project server is fairly pretty much the same. The rigor around using my tasks is something that we don't enforce. We've got a couple of other capabilities that allow folks to get their information into Microsoft Project. They don't have to use my task. We basically give them the flexibility. Doesn't matter to us if they want to do it manually, if they want to use my tasks. We obviously encourage it, or that we've got a few macros that we can provide them that they can export their data to an Excel that ships it out and emails it automatically to the resources, and they fill it in. And so there's a couple different ways that we've got to capture the information. But as far as when the guy hits save and publish, he's doing it through Project Server. So the SPI values, I left that out. That's not out of project. We calculate our own SPI and CPI a bit differently than Microsoft Project. And so there's a lot of, we've got a project management framework that our project managers have to adhere to. That's part of our standard processes. And so the specifics around earned value are a bit differently, specifically around how we do it for the government. And so the rigor behind the scenes is a bit different from project. And so how do we keep the quality up? It's only through the transparency and the visibility that we're able to say, hey, well, you know, something's off. Why? And then you can investigate to keep it right. And that's really why we put these dashboards together the way we did with those numbers. And by the way, the earned value, let me flip over. They're color-coded. So if they don't meet our rules, you know, they stand out. And I've got a legend here that shows you that. This is a staging environment. Let me show you. So just an example of how we, you know, the thresholds we use to color our data. Anything else? The interdependencies, Masterlinks and Matan guys are here. Let me talk about that for a minute. The challenges that we were having with managing these large programs with projects that were kind of related to each other, they had tasks that were dependent upon each other, we crashed and burned with the out-of-the-box solution in 2007. Just it took, you know, behind the scenes what was happening when a task was linked to another project, and when you get a few of those, what happens behind the scenes in the environment is the project has to open up, and it has to recalculate. And so when you think about, you know, 100 plans and a master plan behind in the system with thousands of links between them, you know, it could take us up to 30 minutes to open up a project plan, and that just was not sufficient for us. And so the Matan guys had a solution called Masterlink that basically broke the links, you know, behind the scenes and relinked the information together, and they can tell you more about the product. But it sped up our ability to manage dependencies and interdependencies between our schedules. You know, took us to another level. You know, where plans were taking, you know, 30 minutes, 15 to 30 minutes sometimes, you know, they knocked it down into, you know, a minute or two with the way they were doing it. So massive, massive improvement with their product. And that's key to how we do some of these large programs as well in managing it. Anything else? Thank you for your time. And appreciate it. Thank you.